Good afternoon, Central Texas. Thanks for tuning in to the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network and another edition of our Hometown Heroes. Today we're joined by some of our new friend, a new friend of ours, Sister Maria Josepha. Okay. And I'm going to completely butcher the Latin here, and I'll just go ahead and admit that up front for everybody. But sister is with the Filia Laboris Maria, which translates to the Daughters of Work of Mary. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Uh,
Filiae
great.
Laboris Mariae. Yep.
And she's joining us from Kansas, and I know some of y'all are going to be like, wait a minute, Kansas, that's not Central Texas. Yeah, we're going to, for today's purposes, we're expanding our quote unquote local coverage. To include a little bit piece of the Great Sunflower State. So, and there's an interesting thread here that will make sense later, as we get into our introduction of Sister and the order and all the different aspects that go into that. So, thanks everybody again for tuning us in, and Sister, thank you for carving some time out of your calendar to join us today.
Absolutely.
Why don't we start with a proper introduction? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and so on.
Yes, my name is Sister Maria Josepha of the Ascension of Jesus. And like you mentioned, I'm part of the community Filiae Laboris Mariae, the Daughters of the Work of Mary. And myself personally, I'm originally from the East Coast, actually. First
Okay.
from Connecticut and then Virginia. The community itself actually began in Missouri, so actually we did begin out in the Midwest, but I was from the East Coast, so I was very grateful to have the very welcoming and much slower paced life of the Midwest. I did grow up as a practicing Catholic. I had seven siblings. All of us were homeschooled and we attended church regularly and we all went to different schools as we got older, but when I went to college, I ended up getting a bachelor's of arts from Christendom College in Virginia, and it was
Right.
actually through that community that I met not only remarkable friends that I've kept ever since then, but also it's actually due to some of those connections from Christendom that I was able to find my vocation finally. So
Wow.
I'm very, very grateful for my time spent out on the East Coast and all my time spent at Christendom too.
Now you said what part of Virginia were you in?
I actually lived in the town where the college was, Front Royal,
Front
Virginia.
Royal. Yeah.
And as a young adult after college, I was out in the Alexandria, Washington, D.C. area. So.
We spent 3 years living in Alexandria when I was still on an active duty working in the Pentagon. So that's how
Yes.
we discovered the ICC. We'll get to that
Ah,
in a
very
moment.
good.
So, where are you? You said you have seven siblings. So, where are you in the birth order?
I am fifth,
Fifth.
number five.
And
Yep.
brothers and sisters, how many of each?
Yes, I have two brothers, and the rest are
Okay.
all sisters.
Wow. Sister's small s, right?
Yes, that's correct. I am the only one with the religious vocation in my family, so.
Wonderful, wonderful. Talk a little bit about being kind of in a liberal environment as a young person and being able to stay connected to your faith. I mean, your parents, I'm sure, had a big role in that and making sure that you guys all stay connected to your Catholic faith. What was that like?
You know, it was, thanks be to God, because of my family and because of my close friends, many of whom, like I said, I met at Christendom College. I was able to have a whole community and really a whole life worth of support from those around me. And even though I spent my time out in the Alexandria, Washington, D.C. area, and I did take on at least one or two jobs that were just secular jobs, you know, they weren't connected with the church. It was because of that support and very well-founded, very orthodox faith that I had been taught, but also because of that support from friends that I was able to kind of maintain the Catholic faith and be able to not only answer to those around me for the faith, but really to answer to myself with everything that I'm being presented with in the world, being able to actually respond to myself and say, you know what, I heard about this, I know about this, I know what it actually means in the long run, and to be able to actually respond not only to the questions but to all of the, I wouldn't say temptations because they weren't all bad, but all of the things that would lure you from the world, like that come from the world, all the things that would lure you, I was able to have a response and thankfully able to have support through family and friends. So.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I've always been fascinated by the stories that our priests and our deacons and our religious, as they describe their calling. So how did you know, or when did you realize that the Lord was calling you to this vocation?
It's a very complicated and long story, but the cliff
It's
notes
okay.
of that
We got
story,
plenty of time. We got plenty of time.
the cliff notes of that story is, again, thanks in great part due to the connections that I made through the Catholic community in Front Royal and the community at Christendom College. The main way I mean, most of my life I thought I was called to marriage. So the main way was that it got to a point in my young adult life after college that I had said, you know what, actually, I never did spend time actually discerning whether I was called to religious life. I basically told myself, well, but of course I'm not, so it doesn't really matter that much. But what had come up was a not teaching position, but a similar type of position. It was a employment with a religious community study and abroad at in Florence, Italy. So they had a position there in their school, in their boarding school, for me to be able to take up, or well, basically they advertised it through the Christendom Alumni Network. And at the time I was in a job that I thought maybe I might not continue. And I thought, well, that's a really beautiful idea to go, you know, go abroad, work abroad, how
Florence,
romantic.
Italy.
Yeah, Florence, Italy. So how romantic is that? And so it was really a very worldly mindset that I went into it. But I also kind of, as a little caveat, because it actually had the caveat in the job description, that I would also be discerning the religious life. So they said, you know, this is especially for women who would be discerning the religious life. And I thought, well, I've never done that before, so I should really do that. Anyway, you know, as a responsible Catholic young adult, never thinking that that would actually be my calling, but so I went into that. But thanks be to God, there were sisters who were just such beautiful witnesses in that community, and especially the one alumna who had actually posted the advertisement. She was just so very, very instrumental in my not only feeling comfortable there because, you know, she knew the same places, the same people that I knew, she knew my family, but also in just really making real and making tangible and appealing the religious life. That was the first time. It's not that I had met really non-appealing religious in the past, but it just didn't seem real. You know, it seemed like something that you just knew from when you were born. And so the people that were born with this vocation and knew it, they're the people that become religious. It had never occurred to me that it could be like this vocation that's hidden for a little while from you and then revealed. So she did. She helped me to discover it. It was something that was there. It was something that was, you know, that still quiet, that still small voice, you know, that Jeremiah talks about. And it was there. It was certainly there. And I hadn't recognized it for a really long time. It was in my heart, but I hadn't recognized it. And it was because of them that I was able to recognize it finally.
So you make this decision. I guess you decided obviously not to take the job in Florence.
Well, I went over there and took it, but then I
Oh, did
didn't
you?
keep it. Yeah, I didn't
Oh,
keep it. I
okay.
kind of let it go because I thought, well, if this isn't the religious community I'm supposed to join, you know, she helped me discover that this is actually my vocation. But since it's not the vocation for me to be in that particular convent, I
Yes,
need to go
yes.
find out where it is. You know, I need to go find it.
So, and pardon the bad analogy. So, as you're hunting for an order,
Yes.
describe that process a little bit for us.
That's hilarious that you said that because that's exactly the verb I used when I was doing it. I was hunting for my nuns, as I called it. So I was nunting. So
Nunting.
I was looking all over the country. I assumed, I don't know why I assumed this, but that my community was in the United States. But I mean, it was certainly, your first natural reaction is go with the language you actually know. But when I was looking around for the community, I was definitely looking for a community that was, of course, Orthodox, but also that I knew I needed, because this is something that I needed as a young adult, lots of time in prayer. And so I had just kind of started for myself as a young adult, just a holy hour every day, and which was different, and it was difficult to find friends that were able to do that with me. So I was instinctively looking for a community, even in that, but I definitely knew I needed that. And then I also knew that, like I said, a more traditional outlook on things, whether it be, wearing the full habit or, having a Marian devotion being a huge part of your life, and again, being kind of well educated in the Orthodox faith so that you're not kind of confused about essentials of the Catholic faith, so that you can give a witness, first of all, but then also so that you can be have a well-informed spiritual life. And that is something that I found in my community. And then also just having a more traditional liturgical life, and traditional devotional life, I just found myself drawn to that in particular. So
And so, how did you discover your current order?
it was God's way. I went to various different communities. I think I visited maybe 7 or 10 different convents all across the US. I kind of went on a road trip with one of my friends. And
It's a
I
good road
went,
trip.
it was a good, I enjoyed it very much. I went to various different places and realized it was kind of narrowing down, what it is that I was looking for. I had kind of a hunch in my heart of what I was looking for, but it was narrowing it all down by visiting all those places. And one community, the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles, there in Gower, Missouri, they were just so inspiring. So when I went there, I was just kind of enthused after I left there, and
Sure.
more so than when I left the other convents. And so I thought, well, okay, well, maybe, but I had a gut feeling that wasn't the place. And so when I went back home to the East Coast and I visited my spiritual director, I said, well, none of the places I visited are actually the right place. And he said, well, which one was the closest? I said, probably the Benedictines in Gower, Missouri. He said, well, go back there. And I said, but it's not my place. Like, I know it's not the convent for me. And he said, well, go back anyway. So out of obedience to my spiritual director, I went back. And of course, I'm pouting the whole way, knowing that it's not the right place. It's classic. I mean, you grow in the spiritual life, you don't start out a saint. Let's just put it that way. So I was just complaining to myself the whole way and complaining to the Lord, this is not the
Just
place
not what
that I'm
I want to
called.
do.
This is not what I want to do. I'm not, and I knew at that point I'm not meant to be a cloistered religious. So I knew that. And so I was like, why am I going back to the cloister? But then about halfway through my visit, I thought, you know what? I am doing this under obedience to my spiritual director, which is basically the same thing as doing it under obedience to the Lord. So I really have nothing to worry about. Like, God has it in hand. Whatever reason he sent me back here, that's his plan. And then it was about maybe like 3/4 of the way through my visit when I visited with the vocation directress, and I described everything to her, all the, checklists that I had developed over the course of my search for my community. And she said, have you met Sister Regina? And I said, no, who's that? And she said, well, she's visiting here right now. I think you should really talk to her. And little did I know that my current Mother Superior and our foundress was there visiting the sisters, the Benedictine sisters. And she said, you should really talk to her. And so without having any preparation for the meeting between the two of us met. And thanks be to God, Mother sat down and said, well, let me describe the community I would like to found. And she described almost word for word everything that I had said to the vocation directress. So it was very, very clear that it was the Holy Spirit, because I said, you mean, like, she basically repeated back to me everything that I desired. And I said, okay, well, then if you're going to found this community, I'm going to join you, because that's everything that I've been asking the Lord for. So it was, yes, it was very much a Holy Spirit moment.
I love those. I love those times, where the Lord just kind of He lets us flounder for a little while and
Yes.
then, kind of hits us in the head with a brick and says, "It's
Exactly.
right over here. It's right in front of you. Just open your eyes."
Exactly. Exactly.
So Sister Regina founded the community when?
This was back in 2017 in June.
Okay. And then you joined right away when she
Yes, I
founded?
did. Yes,
So you're
with one
kind of
other
one of the,
sister.
you're kind of one of the, again, pardon the expression, one of the first apostles.
Yes. Yes. It was interesting. The sister that entered with me was a similar it was a similar experience. She also was visiting the Benedictines a little later than I was. And it was the same kind of like, I think you should meet her. And so the two of us were the ones to begin with Mother. So,
So it was just the three of y'all to start then, or
yes.
yeah,
Yes.
wow. And how big is the community now?
Now we are 18.
18. That's fantastic. So in a space of about 9, 8 years,
8 years.
you've grown tremendously. That's wow. That's incredible to me, is it that growth that we see. And I know it's not just you guys and your order. I know it's across the country. And despite what you may or may not hear in the world around us, the religious orders are growing.
They are.
And so it's just y'all right there and you guys are outside of Kansas City, is that right?
That's true. We're about 2 hours south of Kansas City, and we're just
Okay.
outside of Fort Scott, Kansas,
Yeah.
which is the nearest larger town. So we're
Yeah.
not too far from civilization, but thankfully we're in a nice, very peaceful little country setting just outside.
That's a beautiful part of Kansas. We have a lot of folks down here that are, in the military, and so they kind of know where that part of the world is. Just it's reference to Fort Leavenworth, so
Right,
which
exactly.
north. So yeah. So talk then, sister, a little bit about the charism for the order.
Yes, we're a community of Marian sisters, and we lead a very rather intense contemplative life of prayer and sacrifice for the salvation and sanctification of souls, and for the glory of Christ's Church, of course. We very much take the route of the hidden life. I mean, we're not a completely contemplative order. We are semi-contemplative, we call ourselves, because we do have an active aspect, but we very much our apostolate kind of is reflected in, or we reflect the life of Mary at Nazareth, and then also the life of Mary at the foot of the cross. So tending to our Lord as priests, we tend to take care of priests and labor and pray for them especially. It's like a special aspect of our charism. So in a way, we kind of remind ourselves a lot of that life of Mary in Nazareth. And then also taking care of the family, doing various different apostolates for just to s a service to the families and to encourage kind of a God-centered family life among the faithful. And one very good setting for that is the life of the parish, where we have taken up recently in the couple of the places where we lived, including the place where we were founded, we lived as part of a parish. And attended mass there and taught the CCD program or the PSR program and things like that, whether also, sacristy work or working in the office of the parish. So things like that that are just a help to the priest in his priestly life and a help to families so that they can find the Lord more deeply in their lives.
So are y'all associated or connected to a particular parish there in the Fort Scott area?
We aren't right now because the purpose of our moving to this area originally was to actually form a mother house where the
Oh, I see.
novitiate could be centered. Yeah, so that our formation could be centered in the mother house here, which wouldn't be directly attached to a parish, so that we could be more independent and focus more on formation rather than the apostolate. And because we are still young, I mean, we're under 10 years old, we thought it would be wise to actually do that all together so that we all have that same formation and that same bond between us, especially in the early years. But that eventually we would actually go back out and have daughter houses, is what we would call them, based off of this mother house, of course, that we would send perpetually professed sisters out to those different daughter houses to begin the apostolate there, begin another life there, basically. And for the most part, that would be at parishes, so.
So as you talk about your formation, I love the phrase practicing our faith, because I think it's something that sometimes after we get, through 8th grade, we kind of sort of take it for granted, and it's called practicing our faith for a reason. And you mentioned formation, and I know that you particularly, and many of the sisters there at the order are big fans of the Magdala Apostolate that Father Hezekiah started as a wing, if you will, of the Institute of Catholic Culture. So how did you find out about the Magdala Apostolate, and talk a little bit about how that helps with your formation?
Yes, it's very funny that you should happen to be interviewing me because I happen to be one of the early coordinators of the Magdala Apostolate. That was actually after coming back from Florence, was the first job I took on, which I very much thought was the hand of God. He's saying, not only will I give you the vocation, but I'll give you the means to find your religious community. So there I was with this just list upon list of religious communities that were faithful to the Magisterium of the Catholic Church, because they were all taking these classes through the Magdala Apostolate, which I knew were both Orthodox and very faithful to the Magisterium, and traditional in the sense that they are trying to impart all the necessary information that you would need as a sister, and especially in the apostolate. So it was kind of almost part of my discernment being part of the Magdala Apostolate, being able to meet all of those different religious from all those different communities. It was very much God's way of saying, here are all your options. So I thought that was really not only very kind of him, but it was a little overwhelming, but it was really, really beautiful to see the fidelity of so many women all across the US and beyond, in other countries as well. But then after actually joining religious community myself, I think my mother superior already knew about Magdala Apostolate before I even mentioned it to her, because she had heard about it through other religious communities. And so then she knew that it was a resource, and I said, yes, it's very, very good. I can reassure you that yes, it's very, very good, and it's
Have some
very wholesome.
experience here.
I have some experience. But it was very helpful for us, especially in the beginning when it was just the three of us. And not only are we trying to learn, the basics of religious life through our Mother Superior, who, thanks be to God, had more than 2 decades in religious life previous to that. So she was able to teach us from experience religious life itself. But then anything beyond that, whether it be, just theological formation, not that she didn't have it, but that's a lot to take on yourself, and a lot to try and prepare and then teach, and while all the while trying to just be a mother superior. So she was so, so grateful that she didn't have to spend all of that time just educating us in the basics of the faith and making sure that we had the fullest understanding that we could in order to be able to, represent very well in the apostolate. So she was very, very grateful to be able to, for us to be able to, subscribe to this particular apostolate, and to be able to take things like scripture classes and theology classes and mystical and aesthetical theology. I mean, it was just beautiful to be able to say, oh, we can take that kind of class without having someone in person here in our community who happens to specialize in those things, And again, to be able to represent very, very well, knowing that we're being educated by those who are educating our seminarians, even, professors from seminary. So it was such a gift to us.
That's got to be a tremendous resource to you. Is there a financial commitment behind any of this that requires a little more dedication?
No, and that was what was also so beautiful about it, is that here we are starting, the three of us, with literally no money in our pockets, because nobody knows who we are. Our Mother Superior isn't coming with a coffer full of pennies. We have nothing to start out with. And to know that Magdala Apostolate never charges anything for any of their classes and provides all of this for free, to religious specifically is just such a beautiful thing because it showed that they too understood the importance of our vow of poverty, that we don't save up money in order to do this, or that for, in our case, we couldn't save up money because we didn't have any, but we needed the education, we needed it right off the bat and we didn't have any money. So knowing that they offered all of that for free was again such a gift to us.
Sister, we've got just a couple minutes left here. So, I want to kind of hit on another. Would you describe the order as being semi-cloistered? Is that an accurate portrayal?
Yes, we do call ourselves semi-contemplative for that reason, because we do lead a very intense contemplative life, like I mentioned. But since we're not technically cloistered in the sense that cloistered contemplatives are, we do call ourselves semi-contemplative. So we do have an active apostolate outside of our convent. So
And I'm sure that keeps you busy as well.
it
How can our listeners find out more about your order?
Well, thanks be to God, and thanks to some of our very generous volunteers. We were recently able to launch our first community website. It's filiae.org, so it's filiae.org, which is just the first word of our community's title. And it has a very nice and substantial about page, which describes our life and work very well, and our formation and our aurarium and things like that. So, and we'd encourage you very much also to not only visit the website, but to be able to send prayer intentions to us. And since that is our mission, is to pray for the members of the church, and it's an essential part of our vocation, obviously. So we're very, very grateful, and we'd like to encourage you to do that.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We'll make sure and link that website in the show notes here for this edition of our Hometown Hero. But I greatly appreciate you taking some time again out of your busy schedule and sitting down with us today. Maybe here in our last 30 seconds or so, a word of advice to our young people, our young adults that may be in the same situation that you were a few years ago.
The one string that kind of held together throughout the entire time that I was still discerning which vocation the Lord was calling me to is just always silent prayer in front of our Lord. And every day that I went for silent prayer in front of our Lord, I always began it by asking, "What would you like me to do?" Because I had all sorts of ideas. I'm full of ideas, but they're very much changing depending on the type of person I am at that moment, but to always ask what it is he would like, what it is he would like for my life.
Wonderful, wonderful piece of advice there, sister. Thank you very much for that. And again, I appreciate your time, and we will make sure and keep you and your house and all your order in our prayers as well. And I encourage everybody to go check out Filiae, filiae.org. Did I write that down right? Yes.
That's correct.
Filiae, filiae.org. And learn more about the order, and as Sister mentioned, send in your prayer requests. We can always everybody could use a little more people praying for us.
That's
God
true.
bless you, Sister. Thanks again, and folks, remember to put on the armor of God.